Hi, this is Pastor Warren from Beverly Hills Community Church, and this is an audio re-recording of the message that was preached yesterday at our church. I brought a message yesterday because it was 4th of July weekend, and I entitled it A Declaration of Dependence. And I said in the message that we should not only celebrate America's independence from Great Britain and all that went into that, but we should also declare our dependence upon God. And the reason was, I said, look, you know, we're really facing tremendous crises in our day. And so it's a time for Christians to really declare their dependence upon God as well as celebrate the independence of our country. I just want to share with you some of the main thoughts that I shared yesterday. First of all, I talked about the fact that America is truly a nation that's been greatly blessed by God. And I know today a lot of our people, perhaps a majority of our people, are no longer believers. But that's okay. I am a believer, and I see the hand of God in the founding of our country, and I see that it's a very blessed and privileged country. The early founders of our country, many of them were Christians. The Pilgrims and so forth, they came here deliberately to build a Christian nation. They wanted to have a sort of a city on a hill, and actually get away from Europe, where many things have been done wrong for a long time in terms of religion and state and all that. And they wanted to try to build a new society that would be sort of an example of how things could be if people would live for God. And I can't go into that a whole lot in this message, but I just want you to know that we're a nation that's been blessed of God. And there's a lot of books you could read. I could recommend you, like The Light and the Glory by Peter Marshall, or A Worthy Company by M.E. Bradford, and many, many more. I could also recommend for you wallbuilders.com. David Barton is not a degreed historian, but he knows a lot, and he has a lot of documents, original source documents about America. And he's an incredible resource and an expert on the Christian foundations of this country. Did you know you actually had to even be a born-again believer to run for office in the early colonies? Yeah, in 11 of the 13, they wouldn't let you run for office if you weren't a born-again Christian. Many of our major institutions of higher learning are, you know, Yale, Harvard, Princeton, Brown. They were founded on Scripture to train ministers, actually. Our laws and our government were framed by men who were trained in seminaries, many of them. They were taught the Word of God, and they based a lot of our systems and so forth on the Word of God. And, of course, we inherited a lot of it from England as well, which had been heavily influenced by the Word of God. Even such things as having three branches in our government comes from a biblical basis, because Isaiah 33:22 says, "The Lord is my king, the Lord is my lawgiver, the Lord is my judge." And so some have said that that was the basis for the three departments, the legislative, executive, and judicial branches of the government. We have Moses and the Ten Commandments on the Supreme Court building, in the House of Representatives. We have scriptures carved into our public buildings. Our money says, "In God we trust." Our Congress and our Supreme Court open with prayer. Our presidents are sworn in on the Holy Bible. Our early Congress legislated that money should be designated for missions among the Indians and for the printing of Bibles. In fact, the first Bible ever printed in America was in the Algonquin language to reach Indians. And Bibles were printed in the capital, and churches actually met in the capital in the early days. And so we have so much influence from the Bible and from Christianity. We have chaplains in the Senate, all the armed forces. We have the image of God stamped on our history and everywhere. Our history reveals the hand of God powerfully upon this country from the very beginning for his purposes. Like, I watched a History Channel program about when Washington retreated. I can't remember if it was from Manhattan or from Long Island, but the British were there to fire upon him as he retreated, but a heavy fog came in and they couldn't see, and so they were unable to shoot at them, and the Continental Army escaped. I even read whole books on Cristobal Colón, you know, Christopher Columbus. He was actually a man who studied God's word, and he was a believer. There are so many cool stories in our history. Like, I love to tell the story of Squanto, the Indian who saved the pilgrims. You know, he's a real example. I mean, he's almost like Moses being adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, you know, and so getting into the inner courts of Egypt, or Daniel being in the courts of the Babylonians and the Persians, because Squanto was an Indian, but he was taken captive and taken over to Europe, and there he learned English and he was taught the Christian faith, and then brought back, and his whole tribe had been wiped out, so he was just left alone. And when the pilgrims came, he walked up to them and spoke English and was able to help them. You know, I took a course years ago in community college in El Paso on American history. It was a secular professor and everything. He wasn't a believer. But I got to tell you, even studying that secular history course about America was almost the same to me as reading Kings or Chronicles or something in the Bible. It was like Hebrew history, because you could just see how God worked in our nation. So we're a privileged nation, and I think most Christians understand that, and I don't have to belabor the point. Like I say, there's lots of resources if you want to look into it. I'd be happy to share with you. And so it's just so important to celebrate our nation's birth and so forth, July 4th. And I think it's very important to be patriotic. I believe patriotism is a godly thing. It's a biblical thing. There's many of scripture, you know, that tells you this. For example, you know, the scripture tells you in Matthew 22, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Or in Romans 13, it says submit to the authorities and pay taxes and give honor where it's due and so forth. In 1 Timothy 2:2, it says pray for all your leaders and those who are in authority. And so prayer for your country is important. And doesn't that mean that if you pray for it, doesn't that mean that God, if he's telling you to pray something, doesn't that mean that he wants to do it? So if you ask God to bless your country, doesn't that mean God wants to bless the country? He wants you to ask him to do that, right? He wants the best for the country. So he has a will for the country, right? And he tells us to pray for that. In Jeremiah 29:7, God told the people of Israel who were carried captive to Babylon, he said, pray for the cities where you're taken into captivity, because if they prosper, you'll prosper. So if they were to pray for, you know, these foreign cities so that they could have a decent life there, surely that extends to us today, that we should pray for our nation where we live, that it might be influenced by God and that it might be a biblical, godly sort of place, right? So it's biblical to be patriotic, to care for your country. And the Bible teaches us to submit to the authorities of our country, to obey its laws, to pay taxes, to fulfill our duties and our responsibilities and so forth, to pray for our country, right? We should desire God's will for our country. Patriotism doesn't mean something like, you know, you think you're superior to other people or you hate other countries or you want to make war on them or anything like that. Patriotism is really just kind of like self-image is for the individual. Patriotism is that for a citizen of a nation. You know, a person needs a healthy self-image, right? According to God's word. God doesn't want us to be proud and arrogant and think we're superior to other people or say we're sinless or we can't do anything wrong. He doesn't want that. That's absolutely wrong. We have to admit our wrongdoings, our sins and so forth in order to be forgiven. But at the same time, God doesn't want us to hate ourselves or to think that we're some kind of mistake or that we're junk or something like that. You know, God don't make no junk. We have to have the right image where we understand we're made in the image of God, so we're extremely valuable and God loves us. We have special talents, we have special gifts and personalities and so forth for God's purposes. But we also recognize our failings. And so that's what patriotism is really like. You're not to think, well, Americans are better than other people because of our race or something like that. We're not to look down on other nations or mistreat them or exploit them or conquer them or something. We're not to think that America is without problems, sinless, invulnerable, holier than thou or anything like that. But at the same time, folks, we got to recognize the great benefits and privileges we have here. The freedom, the prosperity, the heritage of law and so forth, law and order and freedom of religion and so many things like that, you know. We have to recognize that. And some people today, they don't want to use the word blessed anymore. because, you know, they think it's all like that's almost like magic to them. But folks, we're blessed of God. We really are. And so it's right to be patriotic. It's right to care for your country. It's right to love your country. But I got to tell you, a lot of people today don't think that. They hate this country. And they're against it. And they really want to tear it down. I'm going to say something controversial, but I believe it with all my heart. Black Lives Matter hates this country. And Antifa, they hate this country. They claim to be for black lives, and they claim to be for equality and so forth, but they care nothing for black lives because they've wrecked black lives. They've caused black lives to be lost. They've destroyed black communities and black businesses and ruined black society. They've stirred up division and strife. They're not for black lives. They don't care anything about blacks being killed in Chicago, for example. They don't care. They're using this because they're Marxists, and they let no crisis go unused, right? They want to take advantage of when one black man is killed horribly by some sort of crazy white police officer. We don't know why he did what he did, but he did that. But they want to just use those kind of incidents to really create chaos and anarchy. That's their goal, folks. They're not here to build this country. And somebody I respect a lot is Dr. Jordan Peterson, and he says this. He says, before you burn down a house, you better make sure you got a nice house to move into next door or somewhere. What we got today is a bunch of people trying to burn down the house. But they don't have another house for us. They don't have a good plan for going forward and building something better. America has its stains, the stain of slavery, the stain of wrong treatment of the indigenous when the first colonizers came here. Yes, we've done things wrong, but that's the same as human beings. We've all done things we're ashamed of. We all have made mistakes, but you don't throw out the whole structure here that God has given us because we've made some mistakes. Instead, you recognize the mistakes and you try to rectify them and go forward. And I got to say, this country has rectified a lot of its mistakes. And we have gone forward and we are trying to do better. And so, you know, you don't tear it down. You just continue the process. And so, but we need to, in other words, we need to declare our dependence on God and get back to those things that made us a strong and blessed country in the first place. We have a lot of threats out there today, outside and inside. And we need to declare our dependency on God. So I just want to wrap up with this. I just want to give you four kind of things to think about, okay? First of all, what should you and I do? We don't like all this chaos and all this violence and racism and such in the streets. We don't like it. It's not what we want. But we can't change it, can we? Not by ourselves. So what should we do as believers in times like these? First of all, I want to say this. Make sure that you have dual citizenship. Make sure you have dual citizenship. You say, what, Warren, what are you saying? Go to Mexico, go to, you know, Italy or something, become a citizen of another country? No. Listen, if you live here, you're a citizen of America. You should be proud of that, right? And we love America. But I'm telling you, we need to be citizens of another country too, dual citizenship. And I'm talking about the kingdom of God. Because all earthly kingdoms will one day collapse and disappear and go into the dustbin of history. America will too, believe me. And so you need to make sure that you have dual citizenship, that you're not just a citizen of this country, but you're a citizen of the kingdom of God. Because if you live for the King, the Lord Jesus, and you live under His leadership, His lordship, and you're a citizen of His kingdom, that kingdom's going to last forever. And so you can love America, but it's not all you have. Your eggs are not all in one basket. Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we look for our Savior and King to come from there. Colossians 1:13 says, when a person accepts Christ, God transfers that person out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of His dear Son. So make sure your citizenship is in heaven. Make sure you've been born again. You've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. And you're looking to Him and declaring your dependence on God, not just declaring the independence of our country from Great Britain. Secondly, I want to exhort you to remember that God's always in control. And I want you to know some people that are Christian have the notion that if you're a Christian, nothing bad could happen. God could never let America crash or anything like that because we're Christians here, and so he's going to protect us from all that. But I want you to know that's not true, because there's actually been many times when the world came to an end where believers were concerned. Did you know that? There have been many times that the world came to an end. Like when Israel fell in 586 to the Babylonians, don't you know that was the end of the world for them? Folks, it was the end of the world. The whole city of Jerusalem fell. It was burned. The temple was destroyed. These were the people of God. They surely thought something like that could never happen to them, but it did, because of the wildness and sin and idolatry and rebellion of Israel. They were not right with God, and so he had to let them fall. And then in 70 AD, it happened again. The whole nation of Israel was defeated by the Romans and scattered to the winds, and the temple was destroyed, and Jerusalem was burned. That was the end of the age, Matthew 24 says. And then in the 400s AD was the fall of Rome, and people like St. Augustine of Hippo wrote about, you know, the fall of the world, like it's the end of the world. In 1453, Constantinople fell. Did you know that had been the capital of a Christian empire for 1,000 years? And it was taken over by Muslims. Muslims don't have the true faith. I'm sure Christians must have thought, God will never let this happen. But it did. And there's countless other times. The French Revolution, the communist takeover of Russia, of China, of Cuba. There were Christians there. They fell when that fell. They had to go through all that hell when that happened. I want you to know this has happened before. God will not force people to accept him and do what's right. And so sometimes judgment has to fall and nations have to collapse. But you need to know God's always in control, and he's going to be with us no matter what happens as we depend on him. He will be with us. And he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. So even when there's chaos and collapse, God is still in control. And so the third thing I want to exhort you to do is this. Just let the chaos and the trials that we're going through, all these crises, let them, instead of tearing down your faith, let them press you into a greater dependence upon God. We need to declare our dependence upon God. Let the trials press you more than ever into God. There's so many examples in Scripture and history of people of God who went through such trials like we're going through, and worse, far worse. I mean, Jeremiah and Ezekiel, they were there when Israel fell to the Babylonians. And Daniel was taken captive. Esther, she was over there in Persia, right? There were believers during the fall of Rome and Constantinople, or in Russia, China, and Cuba, and believers in Germany under Hitler and so forth. There have been many times when these kinds of things have happened. But when they happen, let them press you into a greater dependence upon God. When the going gets tough, we usually say the tough get going, right? Well, that's one way of putting it, one thing to say, but I think there's something more appropriate for us as believers. Rather than saying when the going gets tough, the tough get going, folks, what we have to recognize is when the going gets tough, the people who last, the people who will persevere, are the people who let the pressures and the crises and the chaos and the anarchy press them even more into the will of God and into seeking God. That's what you got to do, because it's not going to be your willpower or you're so tough you can do it. It's going to be your dependence upon God. Remember the example of Peter. Jesus said, tonight you're going to deny me, Peter, 3 times. And then they went out to Gethsemane, which means the olive press. And so there was a great pressure and stress and attack and fear and terror that came upon them. And they did not pray as Jesus had told them to. And so they fell away, and Peter denied Jesus 3 times. But later he came back, he bounced back, and he learned the lesson of, instead of depending on his own flesh and instead of declaring how tough he was going to be and what he was going to do, instead of doing that, Peter eventually learned rather just that he was nothing, that he could never make it on his own, but through Christ, he could do it. And so that's what we got to do. Let the chaos, let the trials not freak you out and make you panic, but rather let them press you in to the Lord. it says in Isaiah 43, you know, when you go through the waters, they will not overflow you. And when you pass through fire, you will not be burned. For I am the Lord your God. So we got to just trust in that and depend upon God and declare our dependence upon God. And last of all, I just want to say, in the midst of all this crisis, let all of us be mindful that we must be lighthouses in this time, and that we may be the only witnesses to Christ that some of the people around us will ever see or know. And so purpose that you're going to depend on God, and you're going to ask him to help you to be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know your work in the Lord will not be in vain. We just need to be faithful where we are and be salt and light, like he said. We need to humble ourselves and pray and recognize our dependence on God. You know, 2 Corinthians 7:14, everybody quotes it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Well, folks, I got news for you. That was a message for Israel. They were God's people, and so the whole nation was God's people. The case is not that way with us today. Christian, America never was fully Christian. The people here are not all Christian. We're 320 million people. I don't know what percent is Christian. 10, 20, some people say 70 or 80. I don't know. I'm afraid that we're less than we think we are as far as true Christians. But what I want to say to you is this. Look, let's say we're 20%. Does that mean that if we pray that God will force the 80% who don't want anything to do with him, who have other belief systems and other goals and agendas, will God force them to do the godly thing so that our country will be saved and we won't have to go down? Come on, you know he won't. God doesn't force people. He never coerces. He never makes people get saved. And so, yes, we should pray for our country. Yes, we should ask God to intervene and send us revival. I'm not denying that. Please understand me. I'm not saying don't pray. We're commanded to pray for our country. But what I'm saying is sometimes even when God's people pray, the majority is so set to go the other way that God will not force them to do what's right. And so this country could still crash because we have so many godless people with an agenda to lead us the wrong way. Like Black Lives Matter, they are anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-family. They don't even believe in marriage, folks. They hate America. And Antifa does. They are not anti-fascist. They are fascists. They hate America. They hate everything that's good. And so there's a lot of them. I don't know who's the majority right now. But if they are the majority and they win, this thing's going to go down. But you need to know, God says he will be exalted above the nations. He be still and know that he's God. What you and I got to do is only do our part, right? And we got to declare our dependence on God. And you got to understand, you know, like I say, I always want to change the country. I want to change everybody. I want to change the world. And God always reminds me, if you want to change the world, just let me work in you and let me change you. And then you, as you're walking with me, you'll have an influence. You'll be salt and light on a few people, who knows how many. If enough of us have enough of an impact upon enough others, we can change the whole country. That's our only hope, changing our own hearts, making sure we're citizens of God's kingdom and we're walking faithfully with him. That's just some thoughts I wanted to share with you today. It's not exactly the same message I preached on Sunday, but I hope these thoughts will help you and encourage you. Just be strong and be faithful. Be strong in the Lord and depend upon him. Press in and trust in him and let him take you through this crisis. If you have a question or a prayer request, or I can minister to you or help you in any way, or you want to argue with me about something, just email me at hwarrenhoyt.com. Send me a text. I'll be happy to interact with you. But that's all I want to share with you now. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.